Welcome to Trust Builders, the podcast where we have transformative conversations with company leaders as well as sales and marketing managers about growing your business by educating your customers and building trust. My name is Hannah Eisenberg and I am your host. Welcome to this episode of Trust Builders. I am super thrilled to have with me today Nick Barrage. And Nick is the CEO and founder of Ambitions Agency. He's been doing a whole bunch of creatives around, like you wrote TV ads for Ford, etc. I would love for you to give us a little bit of background of what brought you here. What's your journey like?
Okay, happy to do that. So yes, you are right. I was working in big ad agencies and I was what they call an account manager. So I used to look after the clients and all that. And I saw these people upstairs wearing jeans, looking very relaxed. And I thought, I want to be like them. Now, long story short, that was a really hard thing to do. It wasn't just going up one stairs. I had to go and retrain. I had to work for free for about a year. But then I got my first job at an agency called Saatchi & Saatchi, which was great because even my mum had heard of that. I spent the next 10 to 12 years writing commercials, press posters. Went through that, ended up being the creative director for Samsung in the UK. And then I worked on Ford's global brand team, which was really cool because I got to go to Detroit and go around factories, which I bloody loved. And so we did all that. And then I wanted to start my own agency. That obviously, I wasn't about to launch out and steal the Ford account. So I started a small business. I thought I can bring this good stuff I've learned about brands and trust and all that good stuff I've learned and bring it to smaller companies. So that is our mission, really. So that's what we do.
Yeah, you have, I think the name Ambitions Agency says it all, right? You're really trying to help people grow in their maximum potential.
Yeah, and there's a story behind that. So the first thing I did was when I started, I actually bought an agency, a little one. So I moved out of London, small town, and nobody wanted me to write their TV ad. So I bought a small agency. And we rolled along for a while. I got really frustrated with people coming in saying, I want to do a bit of marketing, almost like I think I should. And I had a strap line on the old name, which was something like, I think we called it the Ambition. It was a strap line on the agency was called Logo Design. And obviously it didn't just do logos, it did design and websites. And eventually I just took the strap line and made it the agency name because everyone thought we just did logos. But yeah, the point is, we're ambitious. We want to work with people who want to do something, who want to make some big changes, and want to learn something new. They're open-minded. And that's why we've ended up working with clients all over the UK and in the States rather than, no offense, just around this neck of the woods. Not that there aren't some dynamic companies around here. There are, but it's not generally where they live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Nick, one of the things that you and I talk a lot about is websites, right? Mm-hmm. We're a lot exchanging ideas on how to create very buyer central, and I think you call it human psychology aligned websites. Mm-hmm. I would love to just start there and let's talk about how today's websites are structured and why they don't really work for the modern buyer. Let's start there and then we're going to talk about what should they include. But let's start with what are they including today and why does it not work?
It's a big question. It's a good question. It's the question, isn't it? So a lot of websites, they're built by companies that don't really care. So we've got to accept the fact that they're not websites that people are using to build their businesses. And I see this a lot. People come to me and say, Nick, I want a website like the big people in our sector. And I say, the problem is you're not like them. So their website's very boring. There are no videos. There are no humans. There's nothing really useful. That's because they're getting their business another way. They've got a great reputation. They've got lots of referrals. Whatever it is, it's happening elsewhere. For you, the new kids on the block, that's not going to work. And so they come to us and they've already built a website, look like the big guys. It's not working. That's generally where we meet people. And as I say, those websites are missing anything and everything that you need these days. They quite often have, I was talking about this today, they've probably got too many things in the menu for a start. So that can be distractions. I know everyone says we must have a page about this and we must have a page about that, but it's actually, do you? Do you need three sections in your about page? Do you need, I don't know, resources, blog? All this stuff just mashes up to be distracting. So there's a conflict there because a lot of it you do need. So that's one tension. And the other tension we come across is obviously when we get involved, it's between SEO and humans. the search engine guys will have you building and saying certain things, and they've got very good reasons for that. But on the other hand, there are humans involved here. And so there's a real tension between those two, which we have to navigate.
If someone comes to you and say, okay, I need to have a website, and they're obviously aware of the tension because you talk them through that tension, what is your recommendation of which side of the pendulum are they going to go?
So a website isn't a website. So somebody might come to me and say, they don't know how to articulate this. I articulate it for them. They need a website that is a proof point. When they meet someone, they shake their hands, they talk to this person a bit, and the person will then go and check them out. And that's fine. And we call that a calling card website, business card website, whatever you want to do. It doesn't really have to do anything except exist, to be perfectly honest. It's, oh, they're real. Look, there's a picture of them. They exist. And that's enough. Other people want a website that's going to bring in business, probably using a combination of SEO, maybe ads, whatever it is. And that's a whole different beast. And that's why.
That's probably most companies, right? Who need a website that actually brings in business.
I'd say people watching this make their own decision. If they're thinking, I don't care about my website, then I can't make them care. And if they don't, that's fine. But for most people, yes. They're going to be like, what's the point if it doesn't do something for my business? By do something, yes, bring in business, but website's a really good way to save time for people. Sometimes there's very laborious forms or extra visits that you're making to clients. I'm like, can you just get the website to do that? And actually, that can be a really big win for the business, even before you've got new business. If it saved a ton of time, or you can direct people to the website to watch some videos and fill out some forms so they can self-qualify themselves out or in. I'm always really careful to really talk to people about how their sales process works, how their business works, because there's often a lot a website can do, especially in this day of AI, bots and all those things, that can really change the business.
I just read a Gartner study that says 35% of the sellers, of the buyers, who are millennials, are really trying to have a completely seller-free experience when they're buying.
Yeah.
Meaning, and for younger people than that, it's even 45%, it's even higher. Now, if you have a completely seller-free experience, the website must be taking a lot of that weight.
Doing a lot of heavy lifting, yeah.
Yeah. So how does that change how we're building websites?
It's big, isn't it? It's huge. Well, you've got to view it as your 24/7 salesperson. You have to. But then you've also got to understand that a good salesperson isn't someone that just talks at you and tells you stuff. You need to fill it with educational, helpful material. Now, anyone who knows us will know that they ask you answer people. So that's that framework talks about that, and it's right. People talk about millennials. I think it's everyone probably, but anyway, no one wants to be sold at, really, do they? You don't go out looking. If you've got a problem, you don't go out thinking, "Oh, what I need to do is find a salesperson to hammer me." You don't. You go out. You want information. You just want someone to help you. And it's really interesting. Oh, it's just a side issue. But often if you look at Amazon's page, they sell a lot of stuff. Now, on that page, you can compare the Amazon product to other similar products. So useful. You can read the bad reviews because everyone reads the bad reviews. And obviously you get the price and so you find out some of the problems in the reviews. So you're getting so much good information on one little page. Now, you need to bring that to your website. And that's a hard thing to do for people, right? Because everyone... It's this weird mindset shift. Everywhere I go, I don't want to be sold to. And then I sit down in my own company and the first thing I do is start writing sales copy because I want to sell more stuff. And that's the big mindset shift that we need to get people to take. It's just hold on. Just help me. Just teach me something. Show me something. Be honest. Oh my God, I've just had someone selling to me and I kept saying, tell me about the problems. Tell me when this doesn't work because I wanted to know. And if they say there aren't any, I'm like, that's just not real, is it? And straight away, if they hadn't, I would have lost trust. So it's about, to the point of this trust builders, it's what can we do to build trust? How honest can we be?
Yeah.
And that's scary, isn't it, for companies to do that sometimes. And it doesn't mean airing all your dirty linen in public. It's not that. But it is about just being truthful and sharing. Sometimes I love repelling copy. It's a great hook, isn't it? This probably isn't for you. I'm going to read that. In the same way, long copy where it's like, here are the kind of people this solution absolutely won't work for. I'm going to read that because I don't. And if I am one of those person, off I go. And if I'm not one of those people, I get totally attracted to that product or service.
So I had a conversation with one of my They Ask You Answer coaching clients yesterday. Mm. And we were talking about exactly that. Who am I not a good fit for? And they're writing an article on exactly that. And it will be quite prominently featured in their learning center. If, let's just dig a little bit deeper here. If someone writes something like that, right? Like, why am I not a good fit for you? Or here are the potential problems. Here are our elephants. And we bring them all to the front and center and we show you how much we love our elephants. What is the consequence of that? And why are people not doing that more?
We know, I think we know why people aren't doing it, because they, everyone wants to sell everything that they do to everyone because they think it's right for everyone. They think if I...
So they fear they're excluding people by saying you're not a good fit.
They're excluding people, which is fine, but you're also excluding people that are a good fit by doing that. That's a really important point to understand. What it does, it's about getting ahead of problems. So the last thing I want to do is... meet someone in a discovery call, have them go through all the way the call, but all the time they're harboring this kind of thing. And if I don't happen to address it in that call or they bring it up first, I'm immediately on the defensive. To your point, the elephant in the room has been introduced by them, not me. I'm in a bad place. It's really hard because everything I say then sounds like justification. Like I can't get out of it. If I can say to them, if they haven't read it on the website, I say, oh yeah, we've got an article about that, I can show you. Or if they have read it, so much the better. We've got in front of it. We call it the Vanguard principle, don't we? But it's just about getting in front of problems before they become things that you cannot defend because it's too late. It's the same in your personal life, isn't it? If you say something up front, say, look, I did this thing, I'm awful sorry. It's much better than somebody finding the thing that you did and then you have to backtrack. In terms of pros and cons, I don't think there are many cons. Except in the mind, with someone who's got the wrong mindset, there is a con, but that is just the wrong mindset.
Well, there's also another really good pro. If I tell you, you might not be a good fit, you can exclude yourself or self-select yourself out of this because, and then I'm not trying to sell to a bad lead, right? I'm saving my salespeople time. Not trying to sell to someone who's a bad fit and who's going to make a very unhappy customer.
Yeah, absolutely. No, all about that. No one's got time to waste. Least of all, our clients that tend to be medium-sized business owners. They might have a sales team. They might not. They might be doing the sales themselves. My God. And you build up to that sales call, you clear your diary, you get ready, and it's a waste of time. You just don't have it.
Yeah.
Don't have it. And a lot of them are a waste of time because they've come with a thing that they want to stab you with. And if you can just stop those people coming, that's so much the better. Absolutely.
I see a lot of websites talk about themselves, and you just mentioned that as well.
Yeah.
And they say, we are the best, and we do this, and here are our features. Yeah. But there's a much, you and I know that there's a much better way of doing that and getting people to understand who you really are. Mm-hmm. Walk us through of what someone should look out for when they're reevaluating, let's say, their own website, and then how they can do that better.
Yeah, absolutely. I sometimes say to people, look, if you were to go on a date, I don't know if I'm the person I'm talking to, dating age, whatever, but I say, how would it be if you just talked about yourself for an hour? How is that date going to end, honestly? It's not going to go very well, is it? Or I say, have you ever been on a date with someone or whatever it is? And so it's the same. If you just talk about yourself, I switch off. I am terrible. I'm gone. And it's the same on your website. If you just talk about yourself, you don't care about me. Best way to engage someone on a date in a conversation is to ask good questions, or at least get. I like to say to people, I want your website to get me at least nodding along that you understand. Just say some things that I've felt, some problems. I go, oh, these people, they really get me. We have some on our site. We have one which, and I've got these from things people have said to me. So people come to me and they say, Nick, we've done various marketing initiatives, Nick, but they all fizzle out. We had one girl and she said we should be doing Facebook ads and someone else, and they all fade away, Nick. So I hear that a lot. So I put that on the website. So people I know are going to be going, oh yeah, that's us. This guy's a psychic. So it's really about talking about them, talking about asking questions maybe, or stating things in quotes that they can nod along to, whatever it is. Once you've got me invested and you've proved you're listening to me and you understand me, I will read down, I will carry on. But if you don't, I probably won't. So it's finding that balance and then flipping it properly between these are the problems, and then flipping into actually, you deserve a better solution than that. And then you can take them through as the guide to their problems or to their solutions. And that's where that story brand, as we know, and that links to they ask you answer, because the guide piece is backed up and endlessly backed up by your authority as a teacher, by your learning centre, by the other resources you have available.
I love story brand. I just got off a call with another client and I said, you have to read story brand over the weekend, because we're just about to talk about a website refresh. Mm. If you had to choose between the three most important pages that a website needs to have, what would those be? Three to four.
Ooh, that's a tough one, isn't it? There is an argument that one great landing page is better than a complicated website. I have that. I get that. And you're not wrong. I've seen very successful businesses with a one-page website. So I can't... It's probably not true for most people. Most businesses need some essential elements, but you need a homepage. And people get really excited about the homepage. And I know why. Because it's a kind of distillation of everything they believe, and it's the short, sharp summation of their business and life. And I know why they get excited, and it is really important. I probably won't land on it. It depends how your SEO works, but I'm unlikely to land on your homepage. I always temper their enthusiasm a bit and say, actually, I'm probably going to start over here, but I will see your homepage on my journey, and certainly before I call you. So homepage, important. What else? I suppose I'm going to say it's likely you're going to have some... If you do a thing, you're probably going to have a service page. Mm-hmm. I've got to know what you do. And if you've got a product, then you're going to have a shop. You're going to have a shop page. Otherwise, you ain't going to sell it. But if you do a service, you're going to have a service page, and you're somehow going to lay out your services. So that's going to be pretty important. And then people get excited about pages. On our website, the most visited page by miles is our about page. I think a lot of that is people trying to sell to us. That's just a fact. The about page is hugely popular, and I spend a lot of time worrying about it and optimizing it. Although it doesn't feel natural, actually, it's a really important page. People want to know who you are, and it goes back to that trust thing. They're probably looking in to go, I get the service. I've seen a similar service on five other websites. Now I need to pick. What am I going to pick on? Do I like them? Do I like the way they're going to work?
Actually, I recommend that everyone looks at your about page, because you have a really cool video on there.
Is that boxing? Is that one? I can't remember.
You still have a very cool bio video on there. Yeah. Where you talk exactly like this, and I think you're very engaging in, this is me. If you like me, you're going to love me. But if you don't, that's okay.
That's okay, yeah. We found awesome. On that page, the SEO team were all over me. They're like, Nick, a lot of people, they're leaving this page quite a lot. I was like, that's weird. Is it a bounce rate? It's weird. They're staying for about 4.5 minutes. And I'm like, how long is that video? They said, oh, it's about 4.5 minutes. I'm like, at least they're watching the video. I'm not saying, maybe they're all going, I don't like him. But I was going to say one thing, and why this is a real passion of mine, to make people understand that, because they get very excited about selling their thing, their service. Like, we deliver this amazing thing. And I'm like, actually, people don't really care, because they know they're going to get the thing. They are. What people really want to worry about is, what's it going to be like? In our case, I'm going to end up with a website. I am. Or I'm going to take them to court. But what's the process going to be like? Is it going to be nice? Is it going to be stressful? Is it going to be weird? Is it going to be late nights? What? And that is what a lot of people miss when they come to build a website, is telling people what it's going to be like, which is where things like guides, videos, my video there. So I know what Nick's going to be like. So that's something. It's just a really important point. I'd always say to people know what's going to be like. What's going to happen?
So be authentic.
Be authentic. Tell me the steps. Some people, again, I have the website. People are like, what does that involve? Can people often turn up? They want to build a website. They say, can you build a website? There's so much other stuff we've got to do. We've got to plan the content together, figure out what images you... And they're like, oh, I didn't... So now we send them a guide to building a website, and they read that, and then they come and they go, okay, I know what it is now. It's this meeting, and then we have that meeting, and then...
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Makes sense. What about a pricing page?
Oh, but you only let me have three, didn't you? So you could include...
Yes. Yes.
You could include pricing on other pages, but I love it when I don't want anyone turning up to a meeting with me saying, I need a website. I've got £800 and we charged 15,000. That's not a gap that. So yeah, some indication of pricing. A lot of people can't put their exact price on. We can't, but we give them an idea so we don't end up talking to people who are completely wrong. Or if they've got a budget of 200,000 and they're a global corporation, they're probably not going to come, but you take my point. Yeah. In fact, we have a diagram on our site which shows who we work with, from startup, goes through to small to medium size, and then global corporations know, and big nationals. But we're just in that middle, and people go, oh, that's me, there's a picture. So that's, yeah, pricing is, yeah, really helpful. And then if you really want to get into the page, we haven't talked about the learning center, but I'll call it what you like, resources, learning hub. What names do people have? There's endless names for these things. That if you're going to do a proper job of educating people, then you need a blog where I can somehow curate my own content, find my way, look at the things I want to look at. And there's no other way of doing that with some kind of library of materials, with some kind of categorization, where I can get to know as much as I feel I want to know before I call you up or fill in the contact form.
There's a whole bunch of pages that you've just mentioned, and one of them is a learning center. Yeah. Now, that brings us about to 6 pages that someone has to have on their website, but it's a really important one because you mentioned before that buyer's education is super important, not just to build trust, but to help those people who want to self-educate themselves and have that seller-free experience. What kind of structure should people look at when building a learning center, or what are the best practices around that?
Okay, first thing I'm going to say is, just while we're talking, and for anyone, just to be clear, we're calling this a learning center, right? We might call it something else. But my point is, these people aren't going to be tested on this stuff. They don't have to read it. Don't get hung up on the word learning and just be very boring and like a teacher from, dare I say, school. No offense. I know there are great entertaining teachers out there. My point being, you've got to make it educational, but also informing and exciting and interesting. So that's the first thing. That's just a mindset more than as you talked about, the structure and the contents. You can do a range of things. Number one is video. It blows my mind how little video is used on websites. But yet the same person who commissioned this website will spend the evening watching YouTube and not make the connection that their videos could be, it should be on YouTube and certainly should be on their website. So you've just got to make some videos, and don't get hung up hiring production companies and all that jazz. Just make some videos. You can go into things like pricing calculators. They're great. They're hard for some businesses. They're impossible for others, like mine, but they're really useful if you can get them. You might want to do things where people can book a meeting or they can self-select some options. People like that. I think there's some good stats, aren't there? When they choose the time and book a meeting themselves, doing that, they're much more likely to attend and they're much more likely to buy. There is some stats. I don't know what they are, I should know. So there's some tools. Have I missed some? Tell me some other tools. I might have missed one or two.
You mentioned the blog before, so articles. It's a good way, because when you're writing a blog over years and years, I found people tend, like, the good content gets buried. So a learning center, I find, is a good way to highlight your best content, whether that's written, whether that's on video. And then tools, like maybe there's a quiz or an assessment or any other. Maybe you have a product configurator.
Yeah, product configurator. You remind me of Scorecard. I love Scorecard. I think it's scorecard.app.
Yes.
Love that tool. We've got one of those on our site. I think that's really cool. Because that, what that can do is get people thinking in a way, or you're almost telling them what to think about and giving them answers and all those good things. So Scorecards are great. How trustworthy, I think ours is called How Trustworthy Is Your Business? So very appropriate for this podcast. So yeah, love a Scorecard. And what was the other thing you mentioned? Just remind me.
Quizzes.
Yeah, all that. Same thing, really, isn't it? Quiz, scorecard, similar.
Yep.
All really good stuff if you can do it. I don't want to be, like, intimidating for small businesses, because a lot of this can take a lot of building. If you can get help, great. And if you can't, just recognize you can build it over time. And I guess also recognize that your point about good content is really interesting, because what happens is you write a good blog and forget about it for 2 years if you're not careful. So it's good to, we love a year in the title of a blog. What's the best, I don't know, tent for my family in 2024? In 2026, that's not going to, you need to update it. So just get yourself a note, whatever it is, monday.com, but make sure you do, because that's a good way to get, really improve your rankings without too much work. Just a little spruce up and off you go.
So let's pick two little threads there with the Learning Center. The first one is, I loved your comment that you just made of you telling your smaller clients, don't get overwhelmed. Take it one step at a time. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me of 7-8 years ago when I started working with this one client who I'm still working with. They had one particular problem that every single one of their clients was struggling with. Mm-hmm. And the CEO built an Excel sheet and it had 800 plus action items in it. But it showed, it was downloaded more than 1,000 times in a couple of years. And it's a small software company.
Right.
And it, but the point is, it solved an incredibly difficult problem for that buyer. And then really helped to make that bridge their management software. So they help you manage those 800 action items, right? So it was a very clear connection. It was relevant to the business. Mm-hmm. But it was also a very incredibly difficult problem for them to solve. So that's a good starting point, I always feel, in terms of what tool should you develop?
Yeah, if you can do it. So that is a classic, to me, if I've got it right, that is a classic educational piece of content. In other words, this spreadsheet really helps you.
Yeah.
And if for whatever reason you can't afford our solution, you can still use it and it's great. It's got actual value. But obviously then you also build massive trust with them and you want to buy their software on them. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And then the second thought on this is we're really in a different time today, right? There is so many little tools. You just mentioned Scorecard. I use InvolveMe, or there's so many other tools out there that make it so easy to create an ROI calculator or all different kinds of assessments. It's literally just typing in some stuff. You didn't have to hire an application developer anymore. Mm-hmm. You just go ahead and, but you still need to think it through.
It's mad, isn't it? No, I know. It's crazy. There are, and I don't know where to go with that except to say, I guess the problem is it raises the bar. Like suddenly if you haven't got them, what? You didn't have 10 minutes to put a pricing calculator on your website? Which is, it's not like that, is it? But it is, oh God, everyone's got one. But they all take a bit of learning. I love it. Obviously, we all love it when they've got a free version you can try, get comfortable with before you put your card in. And that's really good. We've talked about a few. I love Scorecard. I love all the ones that automate the email systems now, because I can remember, because I'm quite old, when in the old days when that was really hard to do. And now it's just beautiful. We use Systeme.io, but there's others out there. That's a lovely bit of kit. What else? Can I name check some other bits of software that I'm in love with? I love Monday.com, to be fair. I took a long time to love it, but actually it's good.
Yes.
Veed.io for editing. I think that's fabulous. I don't know. There's probably a few others I forgot. There's this thing we're on now, which is useful. So many, aren't there?
Yeah. So let's finish with that, actually, since you mentioned Veed. What type of video should someone absolutely include in their website?
Okay, the first step is, if you've got some video, you're already in the top 1%, so good on you. What's the most important one? There's probably, I love to see a video on the homepage to meet the person. We can talk about that. It might be that maybe the classic one is the 80% video, which the idea is that you get all the questions you're asked and you get the top 80% of them and answer them in a video. That's probably the number one. If I could only have one video, it's talk about the problems. What do people worry about? You can get all those elephants vanguarded out in that video. If you're a big volume business, then you can have a video next to a contact form and that will increase the rate at which people fill in the contact form. That's another lovely one. If you're in a very people-based business, I love to say to people, if you're a professional services, like you're a coach or a lawyer, then I need to get to know you. So I need a bio video. I need to know. Real estate's a classic, isn't it? You want to meet your real estate agent, but you want to meet them before you meet them. So I would recognize bio videos up there. So there.
I just had a conversation with Dave Owens from Roof Crafters. Mm-hmm. And if you head over to their website, on their services area pages, on their local pages, they have the actual estimator locally. Yep. Create a video, an 80% video, mm-hmm. and introduce sort of the company. Mm-hmm. And when that estimator shows up at the house of that person who filled out a form who tries to get an estimate, he's like a rock star. People are so excited to meet him. They're really, oh my God, you're the guy from the video. It makes us more, like in this age of AI, it makes us more human, right? It makes us more, there's an instant connection. I know I could trust you. And I'm already meeting you before I meet you.
I tell you, it's mad. And this got me a few times. So I would go on a discovery call with someone and they would big smile and say, Nick, how are you? And I would blank because I think, oh, I know that.
Have I met them before?
I just can't. I can't. I'm lost. And of course, it's just they've watched so many of my bloody videos, bless them, that they think they know me. And it's brilliant. It makes the call so much nicer. And I'm sure for those estimators, it's the same. It was a doddle. We had all the elephants out. They knew me. Because you know, when you meet someone, the first time you're looking at do I like them? They got their hair, it's a bit weird. Or do I like, you know what I mean? All those things are in your head. You're not really listening to what they're saying. So if you're in sales, it's really important that people are able to listen to you and not worry about all that stuff. I think it gets it out of the way.
Yeah.
I know we're coming to a close, but I want to say one thing about all this, which is choosing website agencies. The most pain and have the most trust issues are people who've had a bad experience choosing a website agency. And this is going to sound like an ad, but I wrote an amazing book, which is on Amazon. You can look me up, The Ultimate Guide to Choosing a Web Design Agency. I wrote it for a reason, because I hated meeting these people. And it wasn't always the agency's fault. This is not a diss on other agencies. But what hadn't happened was expectations were mismatched. And so if I can turn, I would say to people, be a good client, ask a lot of questions. And I'll tell you all the questions in there. Things like, will my website be fast enough to pass Google? What's the process? Just ask everything up front, but also be a good client, do your work, do some planning. Don't turn up and expect the poor web agency to fix all your terrible copy because you don't know who your target market is and all this stuff. So I'd say with all this talk about website, let's not skirt over the main issue that if you are building a new one, just take your time to get educated about what's going to make a good process so you find the right partner, you do the right work. And as I say, because that's the most troubled people I meet, they're like, oh, it was awful, awful. We've never liked our website. The other one is they built it in a system we can't access. It's like unbelievable.
That's one of my biggest pet peeves. As a client, you have to not only have access to where your website lives, but you have to understand how to use it.
Yeah.
You need to be able, like, to not be held hostage by your agency, but to actually be able to learn from them how to use it, how to make changes in the future. You don't have to keep paying them for making updates. I cannot believe we're in 2020. How many companies are held hostage by their agencies?
Yeah, and I know from speaking to agencies that they hate doing the work. They're like, oh, we had to amend half a page today. What boring. How do we... I'm like, why would you set it up like that? But they do. Yeah, so really watch out for that one.
That's a good one. Nick, what is currently on your bookshelf that you're reading?
What am I reading? I enjoyed... Some of these are a bit niche, but I've just read The Business of Expertise by David C. Baker, which for certain clients, if you're selling... One client is a coach. He's an executive coach, and that is right up his street. So if that's your thing, that's the book for you. It's probably not... It's really... And that's the point of it, right? It's really not for you if you run an agency or anything like that. There's another one there, exactly... It's not in shot. Let me get it. Here we go. I like a short book, Hannah. Because I'm busy and I get tired. Exactly What to Say. That's a fun book. Have you read that?
Oh, cool. On my list.
Look at the thinness of it. And look at the size of the print. Look at that. It's just going to give you about 15, 20 phrases that you use now. You need to swap for something else and it'll change your life. So that's a really good book. There you go.
Excellent. Awesome. Thank you so very much, Nick. This was a very insightful conversation.
Good fun.
And I am seriously hoping that it changes people's outlook on how to choose a website agency and how to build the website and what they should be having. Because ultimately, in business, everything comes down to trust. And with that, I thank you very much for today's episode and for listening. Thank you, Nick, and I'll speak to you soon.
Bye all. Thank you, Anna. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. As always, I will put all the links and contact details of our guest in the show notes. And if you have any questions or you would like to be on the show, please email me at hannah@3pcreativegroup.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn under Hannah Eisenberg at 3P Creative Group. I will speak to you soon.